One of the things that, before I really get into what I have planned here, I've been an observer of men's ministry for a long time. Not just men's ministry, but an observer of men and relationships and formation and all of that. And there was quite a while ago, a lot of years ago, I was leading a group of men. It was called Leading Man. And the whole idea was to just have some real talk with men. As I was preparing for one of my sessions, I had about 50 guys who were coming regularly to this thing called Leading Man. And I'm putting together everything. I just sensed the Lord telling me, ask them this question. And so I was like, okay. And then I get in there. We, you know, have our songs and we pray. And I said, I have a question for you. And the question was, and this kind of ties back to what, Mark and his dad. How many of you, and this is the question I asked to them, and let me just ask it to you right now, similar to what he just asked. How many of you had your father or another man of significance in your life look you in the eyes and call you a man? How many of you have had that? Okay, pause. Do you see how few hands went up? In the room full of 50 men, 2 raised their hands. Then what the Lord said, now I want you to tell him, turn to one another and say, you're a man. So I did. I'm like, okay. I'm like, Lord, this is a little hokey. I'm not going to kid you. But I did it, and it blew me away. These men looked at each other and called each other a man, and instantly the emotion started to flow. It was profound to me. And then he said, now have them turn to each other and call one another men of God. And it was over. It was so profound. And what that showed me was such a deep and serious lack in the identity of men in the church to even be called a man, and even more in that intense longing to be called a man of God. It was so important. So then I got asked to go to do a men's retreat over in Wisconsin, 65 guys. I had my thing all laid out. During a time of worship, I'm literally on my face, just seeking the Lord for this moment. And all I heard was spiritual fathers. I was like, oh, here we go again, Lord, you know. So I stand up, I start the whole thing, and I ask this room full of 65 guys, how many of you have ever had your father or another man of significance look you in the eyes and call you a man? 2. 65 guys, 2, could say it, that happened with them. And when I told them the same thing, look at each other, man of God, all of that, the room, it was undone. I can't even explain to you. There was one man sitting in the middle, and he was wailing because that one question touched the core of his identity so deeply. It was like a floodgate of pain, longing, whatever it was in him came out. A man in the back said, Pastor, can I just say something? That's my son who was leading worship. And I said, sure. And he stood up, had his son stand up, and in front of everybody, called him a man. And it was, I'm telling you, something was just unearthing in this moment. It was like God was mining for something in all of these men. And then I knew that a couple of the guys in the room, there was an elder gentleman in the back who's about 80 years old. There was and just a faithful man of God. I knew there was a guy about 50, 52, 55, maybe something like that, a friend of mine. And I knew his father's status. He never really knew his real dad, was raised by an abusive stepfather. And so I asked John to come up and tell Jeff, John, can you come up and can you just say these words to Jeff in front of everyone? And so he did. He lumbered up there. He got up there. And in his wisdom, do you know what the first thing he called him? And this is, I think, even got deeper into the core. is John put his hands on Jeff's shoulder, and the first word he said was, "Son." You can't even understand what was happening in the room right then at that moment. And so what John, in his wisdom, I mean, he's old enough to be my grandpa, and he says the word son, speaking identity to this guy. And then he still didn't call him a man yet. He said, "I'm proud of you." And then he said, "You're a man. You're a man of God." And it just, that was brought so much healing. I had no idea. I'm just like, "Could you come and just model this for us?" I had no idea it was going to produce a ministry moment that would be so profound. But the Lord was teaching me something in just those simple words. And I just think, again, I didn't plan to say this, but it's just from our conversation right here. And I just think it's the right thing to say right now to you. I went to Teen Challenge in Brainerd. Again, 65 guys exactly in the room. We were ministering. I did a whole, spoke at Spiritual Emphasis Week there. Anybody been through any of that? And so I'm up there and I asked the same question. None of them raised their hand. None of these men had a father or a man of significance looked them in the eye and called them a man. And so, if you know Sam Anderson, some of you probably do, we stood up there and one by one, these guys got in the line and we looked every one of them in the eyes and we called them a man and called them a man of God. There were more boogers at the altar that day than I've ever seen in my life. But they were the best boogers I've ever seen. These guys, it was just cleansing out. But the need for identity is so important. This is why we can't, men's ministry cannot be theater. And if you write anything down, write that down. Men's ministry in your church cannot be theater. We're not acting anything. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I know, Mark, you prayed, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask you, Holy Spirit, we ask you, would you just, we already know theologically, we know biblically, God, you're here, you're here. Father, would you just expand in our hearts? Would you help chip away, even do some mining in us right now, unearthing? Maybe there's even a guy in this room right now who just needs those words and we're good. Just to hear, I'm a man, that's my identity. And all I've ever wanted to hear is, well done, I'm a man of God. I'm seeking after you, Lord. Father, maybe somebody in this room just needs to be called son. Father, we just thank you so much for the ministry of your word and how much you care for men in your church, those who are going to come into the church. But Father, would you do healing in this room right now, today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, every church culture is different with regard to men. Amen. I mean, you're going to attract, I mean, one of the things, I was in here last year, and something that came up that I think is just that we have to say in the room is we have different colors and cultures sitting right here, right? Can we acknowledge that? Mm-hmm. Do you permit us to acknowledge that?
Sure.
Do you permit us to acknowledge that? Do you permit us to acknowledge that?
Yes.
Okay, do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we get really afraid to enter into even that. Like that's not a zone we can go in anymore because somehow socially we've become afraid of it. But one of the things that I love to ask people is, you know, I don't know about your culture. Can I risk asking stupid questions? And you know what I'm always told? Be stupid. Go ahead. Because don't you want somebody to know about you? Don't you want somebody to know about you, where you came from? You know what? When I hear an accent, let me ask you this. Where's your accent from?
Liberia.
All right. My Liberian brother. Thank you. And you know what? But I don't want it to just be that shallow. I want to know what's up. We have some Liberian boys in our church, and they come every single Sunday, you know, and we love them. Achi and Rachi, you know, and it's like, If they would have had one more, it'd be Achi Rachi and Gachi and Wachi and whatever it is. Yeah, so, right. I don't know. But you know what? I'll tell you, they are loved, and we love them. But I want to know more about them, you know. So that's one barrier I think we need to get past and find a way past it. Amen? Let's do that. Because we could celebrate with each other then and have a lot of fun with it. But every church culture is different with regard to men. And it's important for every leader. How many of you in this room would say you are somehow connected to leadership in men's ministry? All right, a lot of you. That's good. It's important that every leader learns the culture of your men. Learn the culture of your community, you know. Learn about that. And one of the examples that I would give, and this is just like really top level simple stuff, but do you have a lot of artists? You probably wouldn't even know, because a lot of artists just kind of stay kind of quiet about being artists because it's not very macho, you know. But do you have a lot of sportsmen? Do you have any sportsmen in your... How about academics? Do you got any really, really brainiac, smart people? Okay. Do you know them? Do they have a place? How about, you know, I got sportsmen, like athletic types, but outdoorsmen. You know, there's guys who love to shoot a bow, shoot a gun. One of the things that I did at one of our recent retreats is I bought 4 slingshots and brought them and kept those slingshots just busy. I bought just a ton of bags of ammo, and you hang up a couple of...
Close the door. I'm sorry.
Is it loud out there?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what's awesome? I'm deaf in my right ear, so I don't even hear whatever's going on out there.
Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you. So, you know, I just did that because guys like to hear things go ding. and it's just fun. It's just fun to do, but get to know your culture. But one of the things that I've seen is that the culture right now is crying out. Young men especially are being drawn toward authenticity, connection, impact. How many of you are seeing an uptick right now in your church of young people? Anybody? Okay, that's a move of God. All right, that is a move of God that we need to acknowledge. We need to seize on it. I don't think it's necessarily because we're doing something right. I think it's because Holy Spirit is calling. And so we need to receive. So before we think, oh, we're really cool, we got a lot. I mean, it's not that necessarily. They're coming because they're hungry for something. So feed them. That is really, really important. But what I really want to just talk about is leading all of our men into some effective mission. Are you all going to get it right all the time? No. Can we be okay with that? That's one thing that I can just rest in. I'm not going to hit the nail on the head for every single dude, every day, every activity. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try to make some opportunity. That's important. So what I just want you just to release the pressure valve a little bit and just calm down and relax and let's just move into this. So just a little bit about myself. I've been in full-time ministry for 33 years, a little over 33 years. I have, like I said, I've been watching, I've been observing, I've had some touch on men in men's ministry for a lot of those years. And you know, today we have a church plant, and I would like to say we've got a couple of guys here from our church. I believe we have a pretty vibrant men's culture within our church. We have a lot of guys who are engaged, not just, you know, showing up to things, but they're engaged in worship, they're engaged in setting up and even taking care of themselves, and that makes me pretty happy. I realized many years ago, and it's something that I chose to live by, that I'm just going to give this to you. And you can share this with your guys if you want to. But it's a principle, it's a concept that I realized for myself. But if you want to be a better man, you have to hang around better men. And that is a principle. So what that means for me is, if I want men to hang around me, I got to be a quality dude. I got to be a better man. Right? And so that kind of comes into this Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be a better man, so I want to choose to hang around better men, but I also need to be the better man that those men want to hang around as well. And so just a little bit of discussion here. I have a few questions for you. But just to go around the room, and you know, not everybody has to say, but if you've got something you'd like to contribute to this, but what does your congregation look like in terms of men, like age and interests, things like that? Because some of you might be, you know, you might think, we got a pretty young, trending young congregation. Some of you are like, man, we've got the whole gamut. It looks really good. Or, gosh, it seems like we're really trending elderly. Whatever it is, but do you know? And I just want to hear from a few of you, what does, you know, very quickly as you're thinking about it, because maybe you never have, what does your man demographic look like in your church? Anybody want to say? This is what ours is. Yeah.
In the church I go to in St. Paul, it's a lot of 18 to 30 year olds and then 60 and over.
So it's
not the middle.
Okay, all right. That's interesting. But you know it. You've identified that. Okay. Anybody else? What does your man demographic look like? Yeah.
Yeah, kind of similar to the gender right there, but we have lots of 20s, not a lot of 30s, but then 40 up there we do have.
Okay.
So, and in terms of interests, artists, the whole thing, hunting, fishing, cooking, you know.
Very cool. And so you've seen them express somehow in order for you to know that you have them in your church.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Good, good. Who else? Yeah.
We're more rural than in New Ulm, and I'd say we're a 40-plus working class.
Okay. So for...
Not much on the younger, but, you know.
All right.
Everybody, family, kids in middle school up.
That's what...
Working class.
Okay. All right. All right. So we are seeing some diversity here. Who else? What else? What does your church look like? What's
30
the
30 plus?
30 plus.
Mm-hmm. Working class.
Not a lot of younger. Has anybody got churches full of babies? You do? So what does it look like?
We have a lot of younger families.
Okay.
30s age. And then my wife and us, we have three and a bunch of friends of ours, we have a bunch of kids.
Okay.
We also have a good variety of, I'd say, 40 and up gentlemen as well. Some yeah. who have served in the church and others who have come in recently. So we
okay.
have a decent mix.
Sure.
And so.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
30 to 50 range, but we're starting to see more younger.
Okay, good.
We moved our age from far to participate. We first started with like 16 and up to participate just because of some of the sensitive like issues that were talked about. Then we moved it down to 14 or just age of kids that are going into youth. And so we're starting to see more younger kids now coming in with some of them. And yeah, I'd say the majority of ours is, you know, 25, 30 to, you know, up. You know, I mean, we got some older guys, but not a lot of older guys.
Yeah. So it's, yep, go ahead.
Our church is, we have a lot of, like, guys that have been just out of college for a little while, up to 30, so they're babies galore, but they're, a lot of them are gamers. I'm like, I can't play gamers. And now they're getting into airsoft so we can shoot each other.
Okay. So if they're gamers, does that qualify as sportsmen? Not really, I'm just kidding. Yeah. They're e-sportsmen, that's right. My son was actually in... at North Central, and he was on the esports team, and it was actually part of the athletics department, I think. So it's
my
like,
son was explaining it to me, I'm like,
yeah, but they did really well. It was like really cool. And I mean, if you could get some scholarship with a joystick in your hand, I mean, like, you know, that's good.
Yeah, you went from hockey to that. I'm like,
yeah.
What are you going?
Well, so here's the thing. What I want to do is just compel you to think about it. To look at who's coming to your church? Who are your men? And then, you know, you might even want to throw in there, Is there anything we're doing that is attracting? Is there anything we're doing that is repelling? Just good questions to ask. You can ask some of them, you know, ask the women. They're really good at that too. They'll tell you. But the next question is, what challenges are you facing in leading your men? And again, this isn't, we're not going to solve the problems here, but the idea is to start thinking about it, to get down that road a little bit. But some of you, what challenges are you facing in leading men in your church?
Just the generational gap between young and old and the lack of communication between the two.
Okay. How many of you, like, that kind of answers a question for you? Or you agree with that or relate to that? So some heads nodding. What are some other things? What challenges?
Mentoring the next generation,
mm-hmm.
and it's like time is a huge one.
Yeah.
How do you sit down with these guys? Like, I missed one of the sessions because I met a guy from the other side of the church.
Oh.
And it's just trying to get time with everybody to be able to be a mentor to
mm-hmm.
the younger guys that are, you know, just having children and stuff like that.
So at the core of that is relationship. And you can't invest in a relationship if you don't make the time to cultivate that. You know, you're not going to grow anything in your garden if you don't spend any time in your garden either. It's just going to be weeds and unfruitful, right? What else? Maybe a couple more. Yeah.
Oh, I co-lead a group, men's group here, and we just kind of came to the realization we really don't know each other that well, as
yeah.
deeply as we should. And our group's called Band of Brothers.
Yeah, yeah. Ironically.
So,
yeah.
Go beyond the Bible study and get into, you know, what's your wife's name? What are your kids' names?
Yeah.
That, you know, that it just came to realization, like, we really don't know each other as well as we
yeah.
should.
Yeah.
For as long as we've been together.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
This is more so with the youth, but establishing relationship based on trust. You know, especially with young men, I mean, there's a lot of competitiveness and there is, even though I'm on the younger side, right? I mean, these kids are teenagers, and it's like there's a bit of a generational gap there, and there's an instinctive barrier in that building up a relationship based on, hey, you can trust me to, you know, confide in me and you know, seek advice, and I'm not gonna put you down, I'm not going to chastise you, I'm not gonna
mm-hmm.
rat you out. Come to me with this stuff, and I'll provide you with what guidance I can. I'll
mm-hmm.
help you.
Yeah.
And just kind of taking the time and spending the time in fellowship to build that, so that covenant with them.
So relationship is necessary, mm-hmm. but there's hesitancy
yeah.
in getting it
yeah, and
sometimes.
That's why, let's just say, my group, we're on the more seasoned side.
Sure. To put it nicely, yeah.
A little salt and pepper going on.
Sage is a season, yeah.
Yeah. And so we've had some filtering in and out of some of the younger, and I don't know, because of maybe might have been just the format at the time,
mm-hmm.
which is a good format, but I don't think the connection wasn't there to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the relationship that connection that.
Yeah.
We have learned now that we need to move that direction.
Yeah. And I think that's important. I mean, if you're seeing those gaps in your ministry, I mean, what are we doing to attract? What are we doing to repel? And maybe move toward those things. But you also, and we'll get into a couple of those things, but getting everybody on board with the vision of doing that together is really important. Yeah.
Unlike maybe some of you in here, we're struggling with just the fact that we don't have a good model to follow. We haven't seen a successful men's ministry where we are. I'm actually from Wisconsin.
Okay. Well, that might be part of it right there. I'm not sure. I'm just kidding.
Talk about a shot.
I was just saying what some of these guys were thinking, but I was just no, seriously. Where in Wisconsin are you from?
Central Wisconsin.
Okay.
Specifically from Plainfield, so I'm in a rural setting.
Okay.
Very blue collar. very strong standards. Most of the men in our church are like 40, 50 somethings.
Yeah.
So they're either early grandparents or they're still parenting.
Sure.
We've had the belief system that men's ministry is valuable, but no one's ever wanted to do it. No one's ever wanted to take the risk and fail at it.
Yeah.
And so as the pastor, I've made the decision that this is too big of an issue to ignore.
Good,
and
good.
And I don't, again, I've never really led a group other than myself and my own boys.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know that it's essential to the health of our church and to their families.
What's your name?
Roger.
Roger.
Roger Wright.
Roger, thank you. Thank you for being vulnerable about that and saying that. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, that is probably one of the first best steps you can take, is just to say, you know, it doesn't, it's not here, we're longing for it, we want it, and you're the pastor saying, I need to lead this. Good for you. Yeah.
I had an interesting thing happen this week. I'm part of a group of, there's 12 of us guys, and we're called Men and Fish. It's a Bible study, but we all love to fish, so we kind of have that in common. And I live up in the middle of nowhere, 3.5 hours from here. But so we go through a Bible, we go through a Bible study 9 months a year. We typically don't get together in the summer because then we can't fish as much. But
get on the boat.
Yeah, but we do plenty of that. Tuesday, you know, and we all know each other, but Tuesday one of the guys shared his testimony while we were all eating a fish breakfast. But, I mean, it was the craziest testimony I've ever heard, and I've heard plenty of crazy testimonies. I mean, this guy sat and watched his dad hang himself. And, you know, it was a God moment. The rope broke right before his dad died. But, I mean, just one crazy thing after another. But it just made me realize, you know, we've been close for 6 years. But I just said, you know, this summer, you know, let's just take one morning a month and we'll get together and let's all share our stories.
Yeah.
Because we kind of know bits and pieces of our stories, but no one knows, like, our stories, right? And that story was like, you know, it was a...
That's an important story to know about somebody, right?
Right, I mean, yeah. I mean, like, we can all get together and, hey, it's all good. I mean, everything we're doing is good as far as going through the Word and sharing maybe a hot spot here and there. But, you know, just to have that vulnerability and that transparency, you know. And
So thank you for that. I want to say something that I said when we first started. Men's ministry is not theater. And guys, this is what we need right here. And if we're doing men's ministry and it's theater and thinking you're going to track, guess what? The curtain opens up at some point and reveals what's really backstage. And that's why we can't do that. It has to be that real. Having a place, a platform for that vulnerability to eventually come out is critical, because now there's intimacy there. And there's another word, by the way, it's not in my stuff, but there's another word that guys just run from, is the word intimacy. You know, we can't, right? In fact, we have to be the leaders of intimacy in all reality. So you had one, yeah.
So our group we call front and center. You know, in the military sense, that when you're called front and center, you're up in front, either leading or being led.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to get our men to understand, that both in the family and in the church, you're
sure
meant to be front and center.
Yeah.
Getting guys to accept that leadership position or that leadership responsibility, they're like, yeah, I'll participate, but I don't want to get into that leadership position.
Right.
Leadership role is what we're purposing.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is something too, like, I'm not super easy on introverts, because I don't think that we need another reason to not lead, you know, to not step into something like that. We're all moving toward, you know, something better, something more effective, right? So thank you for doing that. You guys don't fish though, do you?
No.
Okay, so...
We do other things.
Who else? One more. Anybody else have a thought? Yeah.
So I'm facing a problem of attendance. men are not giving priority to the men's ministry sometimes. Some days, sure, but not some weeks, no. Such a kind of problem I see.
Yeah.
So they're particularly in 40s and above.
Yeah.
So, but it is good for the, you know, the 20s and below, they're good. But 40s and above, they're not giving much attention or much priority to the men's.
Okay.
Ministry.
Yeah.
Challenge.
Yeah, it is a challenge. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. Keep those thoughts in mind. The next question is, and maybe we've started to look at this, but do men have access? Do the men in your church, this is why, you know, we're building to, do we know them? Do we know where they are? Do they know what they need? But do they even have access? So you got a boat, you've got a ministry called Front and Center. You know, what is the funnel to that or more of that? Do men have access to other men? And that's an important question. But in that there, you know, I'm not going to say we're going to discuss a lot of that because I want to move through some things that might help you here. But in the idea of the identity of men, do your men who know who they are, calling a man, like I started with, and then men in ministry to men, understanding, and you all know this, that it is critical to, it's of critical importance in any church body. And Pastor, that's what you're saying. We need this. It's really important. I'm gonna say something here in a few minutes that I think is going to, it might sting a little bit, but I think in the right way. But we also need men who are present and men who lead, understanding that they strengthen the body. They do. And that's why let me say this. One of the things that I can't stand is shame. And so I don't want to say anything that imputes shame on anybody. But what I do like to do is say some things that might reveal and encourage. But I don't like shame. And I don't think any men's ministry that shames men into being men, into being present, into being more of what they're not, things like that. Shame is not a good thing to build a men's ministry. So if you can get rid of it or minimize it, you might start seeing too. But just see, ask yourself, is there any element of shame that is a roadblock to men becoming a part of what we're doing? All right? It's just a thing that's important to me. Magnetic men, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I want to say something about this really quickly and then move through some of my points here. But we just recently started a young man's discipleship thing out of necessity. We had a group of five guys that they were tight, they were brothers, coming to the Lord, getting on fire for Him. One of them had a fentanyl overdose and died. Tragic. Amongst these boys, so I committed to these boys, this isn't going to happen again. Not with you. You're not going to go down that road. So I said, I want to meet with you. We're gonna disciple. We're just going to work on this. That 4 turned into 11. That 11 turned into 17. That 17 is now, there are 33 guys on a list and 5 dads among them who now want to come in and get discipled in a way. And what this whole thing is right here, as iron sharpens iron, so when one man sharpens another, the Hebrew of this, it says like this. As iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen the face of his brother. And if you think about being like iron, like a sword, now, I don't want any of you to think you're just going to let anybody come into your face and sharpen you, right? Don't you want a man of quality to come and sharpen you? Especially if it's going to be as intimate as face-to-face. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So go back to, if I want to be a better man, I got to hang around better men. So I want to be as good a blade as I can be to help sharpen you as much as I want you to be as good a blade as you can be to help sharpen me. So we have to understand and raise that. But going back into some stages of, we don't just show up. We don't give birth to swords. We don't give birth to axes. What we do is we dig up ore out of the ground and we separate what doesn't need to be there from what does. And then we put that ore into the fire, burns out the impurity, so all you have is iron. Then the iron gets, you know, put back into the fire and starts coming to the anvil, gets the hammer. Then from the hammer, it goes to the wheel and gets sharpened. You see all the processes that have to happen here? We don't just come out of the fire like this. So what I've been telling these boys is that you're in the furnace now, but the blade is coming. And guys, sometimes we just have to go, okay, that's where I'm at. I'm still being mined right now. I'm being purified, and it's all okay. All right?
Can you repeat that
phrase? As iron sharpens iron.
No, what you just said about, you know, you're in the
furnace. You're in the furnace now. You're in the fire now, but the blade is coming. That's hope. And I'm just trying to give hope to these young men. That's hope. Because for some of them, the furnace is so hot, they don't want to be in there. And for some of us, it's the same way. And guys, that's a reality to me. When I think about men and men's ministry, that is a reality for us as men. Some of you, and I think it's a cycle. There are going to be parts of our lives and times, seasons, where God goes back to mining new stuff in us. And then that season of, well, Lord, I know if you're digging it up, eventually it's going to go in the furnace. And I'm going to be okay with that. Life is hard, right? And eventually it's going to come out of the furnace and it's going to be hit between an anvil and a hammer. That sucks. Doesn't it? But guys, we get the privilege of walking with other men through stuff like that. But if we understand it better, it's not like we feel like life is attacking us. What if the Lord is allowing life to hone us and make us stronger, make us better, right? So your time spent between the anvil and the hammer, don't have so much disdain for it. Just say, Lord, thank you. Hit me again, you know. But then at some point, the sparks are going to fly because you're going to be on the wheel. That's life. But in God's hands, it's good, right? So you're in the furnace, you're in the fire now, but the blade is coming. We have to endure stuff like that. So that's what we're doing with these young men. And if we have time, I'll just say another word about that. Four things I keep in front of me, and I want to get through these here before we're done. The first thing is you got to be one of them. When we're talking about men's ministry, and that might you might be like, well, duh. I'm not saying show up and be male. I'm saying show up and be one of them. Especially if you're in leadership, especially if you're a pastor in this room, don't show up and hide amongst them. Be one of them. Sometimes I think that we don't feel like we can. Sometimes we don't feel like we can be vulnerable. Remember, it's not theater. You are not a prop on a stage. You're not a character playing a role. You are a real man. Just be one of them. Amen? So you show up, you stand up, you speak up, be relatable, be authentic, and most importantly, where appropriate, you have permission to be vulnerable. I mean, I try to be that with my guys. I'm not perfect. I don't walk around like I am. If I'm falling apart, if I'm failing, I've got guys around me who will help me up, you know. I'm not a hunter, I'm not an outdoorsman, but I like that stuff. I'm vulnerable about it, and now I'm comfortable with it because really, I'm an artist, I'm a musician. I'm a poet. You see what I'm saying? That's not, wow, that's super masculine, you know. It is. It is. And it's okay, and I'm cool with it. You know why? Because when I want to go fishing, I call Brent. I get on Brent's pontoon. I'm 56 years old. I've never put a boat in the water myself. I'm not a Minnesotan or a man. That's what some of you are thinking right now. Okay? But the reality is I don't care anymore. I'm just telling you. I don't care. I love that I've got buddies that can I get on your boat? Yeah. Can I borrow you? I don't even have my own. I just got a tackle box and a rod and reel last year. Isn't that awesome? If I want to shoot, David's helping me, you know? I got people. I don't care. Can you just not care anymore too? You follow what I'm saying? Just be one of them. The second thing is, know your men. And I've already said this, but know who the men of your church are. If a man visits your church, somebody's got to be on that guy. Get to know his name. Is he there with his wife? Make sure somebody is there to greet his wife. Does he have kids? Ask who their names, you know, just get to know him. But what I say all the time in our pre-church service prayer time, if you meet somebody, what do you got to do? Introduce them to the guy next to you. Make sure somebody else hears you say his name to somebody. Does that make sense? Do that. And that's a slow, small build. It's an easy thing that you can do. But if you can't do it, identify men who will do it with you. And make sure that it's not in everybody's comfort zone. It's something that has to be trained. It's something that has to be learned. There is a passion and an excitement that comes with it. But get somebody on board with you who will do that and just increase that team. Okay? Connect to other men. Take an active interest in them. Connect them to other men as soon as possible. And one other thing too is we had a guy who came, visited our church with his wife, and I found out he's a fisherman, avid fisherman. He does tournaments and all that stuff. And I'm just like, okay, you got to meet this guy, because I knew that about another guy. I'm like, you guys have to meet. Guess what? I connected them and I walked away. So that's why we got to know our men. You connect them and you get them interest to interest, and now that makes a difference. The third thing, build opportunities for fellowship, connection, and relationship. So, Pastor Roger, this might be something here. And it's not like, don't make a big science out of it. Just start doing things like this. Opportunities for fellowship, connection, and relationship. And if you offer a variety of activities, what I just say is allow them a space to be safe and vulnerable. Guess what? Men can be very insecure beings. True? I do a thing, and I've led it at Men's Advance a few years in a row, and I do it for all my pre-marriage counseling. I call it the security wheel, or the language of security. And something that I have found is that every man, every woman, every child, every human has a common need. It is the need to be secure. And where we breed insecurity, or where we allow insecurity, we are not going to have growth. What we are going to have is shielding. We're going to have walls being built up. We're going to, you know, people are going to close into their shell. Insecurity causes us to have to guard ourselves. When we are secure, guess what? It all opens up. We can become more vulnerable. I don't care if you're the meekest or the most macho of men, you still need security. And security and insecurity play out the same in everyone. And so, what you do, if you want to build a men's ministry, think, I want to build security into every aspect of this as much as I can, into myself and into them. Does that make sense? Really, really important. And then number four, lead men to be prepared in this world. And something that I think is really important is that as men, we are not given to panic. We don't need to panic. A couple of verses. We don't panic when things get rough. We're not gonna freak out. We need to be the kind of men that when the world sees that you are steady and stable and you're calm, even though all chaos is going on around you, they're gonna wonder why. It's because your faith, you're steady, you are sunk. That's the kind of men that I want to prepare for the world to come. And that, to me, it's incredibly important. So Luke 21, 25 and 26, it says, and there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Men's hearts failing them from fear. If I have just anything that I can do, is to help men to just be faithful and not fearful. The stuff's coming, guys. It's coming. Prepare your men for the world that is coming. So, and I'm just going to lift this up because I think this is just awesome. Mark Lerum, four things. If you've been to Men's Advance, you hear this over and over and over again. Get this in you. Men who reject passivity. Men who accept responsibility. Men who lead courageously. Men who invest eternally. If you need to, make that the value system of your men's ministry. Start there. That makes it real easy. So something that I share with men quite often, not every single time we meet, I don't want to exhaust it, but I encourage them to be worshipers. So you're talking about front and center ministry. My front and center would be you guys show up and worship. Who normally in a church is leading worship from the pews or the chairs? It's the women. Would you all agree with that by and large? It's our women who are leading us in worship. Do you know what they want? They want the men to lead. Do you know what they want? Men's Advance at home. Right? Isn't that true? Somewhere we've got to take that from there to here. Because guys go home all the time. They tell their wives or tell somebody, oh man, you should have seen these guys singing. You should have seen them. You know, everybody's got pictures. I got a lot of pictures. Oh, everybody's hands in the air. They're at the altar. They're weeping. They're yelling. They're doing all this stuff. And they're like, how come that doesn't happen at home? You know? I get it. And there's a lot of energy like that. But men, what that just tells us is that they desire for us to lead in that way. So leading, reading your Bibles, leading studies, leading prayer in church, in the home, be out front that way. And if you're way back here, again, no shame. Start making your way up and get up into that place where you would lead. So I was asked a question, I asked a question to a whole host of women many years ago. I asked this one question. What would you do if your husband became the spiritual leader of your home? What would you do if your husband became the spiritual leader of your home? Do you know what the answer was? Anything. What does that tell you? There is a desperation in our churches and in our homes for men to lead spiritually. We can go outside and we can split wood. That's different than coming in and grabbing your wife or your children and leading them in prayer. Okay? Does that make sense? This is what we need to lead our men to. This is men's ministry, is understanding who is craving our leadership. And when you understand who is hungry and craving you and your leadership, this is the thing they would do to have it. Anything. Does that land? That was the thing I was talking about. I'm going to say something that might pierce or poke a little bit. But this is it. And if you go home with something today, go home with that. They would do anything. My family is personal to me. And I don't do it right all the time. I go through seasons where I ignore it. I go through seasons where I'm not doing it well. But I have to keep coming back to it and get back to here. Amen? So, I'm going to skip through a couple of things and move to this. Pastor, in the room, you need to have men in your life. Again, just be one of them. Don't make it overly complicated. Just be vulnerable. Be one of them. And then finally, young men, there is a move. There's a shift right now where we see a lot of young men are coming to the church. They're coming in, they're looking for something. And I think, I don't know, if I don't have the Barna research, but I've heard it enough times. They are looking for authenticity. They are looking for what's real. No hype anymore. No theatrics, no hype. They just want Jesus. And what we're seeing right now with the young men who are coming to this study that I'm leading, my whole goal is to get them and hand it off. and start handing it off to them so that they can lead this themselves. They are hungry for it. They're inviting their friends. Their friends are coming. I don't know. Every time we have a Tuesday night that we do this, I walk away going, God, what is going on? What are you doing? And so we're having them share their testimonies. I make them show up with a journal. They have to write. Guys, do that too. Write it down. Write your stuff down. Write down what was the Holy Spirit telling you during times of worship, during a message, during a little teaching, whatever it is. Write stuff down. Testimony matters. Get them to talk, you know. Get them to share. It's critical. But find a way to make an opening, an availability for young men to come in. But not just young men. All men are worth the time in the ministry. Amen. So I know Mark has a couple of things. We just have a couple of minutes here left. Any thoughts about anything that you heard me say, those four things, working through that, just so that you can process it back and maybe sink it in a little bit more, what stands out to you right now? What do you feel like you're being told? What is Holy Spirit showing you?
I've worked with metals for like 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking at this, iron sharpens iron. Well, it can't be the same hardness. One has to be harder than the other one to sharpen. And I believe that the harder one is going to be an older person that has wisdom. I mean, I'm working with some guys that are working through pornography. It could mm-hmm. be, I mean, everybody's got a hurt or a hang-up. Everyone's yeah. had a wound, and you look for somebody that might have a wound along those lines, and
yeah.
you can help them get through that
without yeah. yeah.
sharpening them. And it's painful. I mean,
sparks fly.
Yeah, sparks fly.
Yeah, sparks fly. One of the points about that, too, is that mind soil will never sharpen a blade, right? So if you're in that stage, we got to go through these other stages to get to the place where you're even able to sharpen that other one. Who else? What is sticking with you right now? Yeah.
Well, all of it, really, but just to, but one of us be one of them. And I got a little quick testimony. I'm going to brag on Mark.
yeah. You'll have to step outside. Yeah.
The reason I am where I am today, one of the main reasons, is because he reached out to me when I was doing some work for I was doing photography for the church. He reached out to me and asked if I would come do photography in men's advance.
Was that you running around with the camera?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, out of context. There we go.
I
love it.
And that has been a huge growth area mm-hmm. for me to the point now I'm going through Mensom.
Awesome.
Where I, because of connections I made because
yeah.
somebody reached out.
Yeah.
And that's a dude right there.
Yeah, amen. That's good. It's a great example. I love it. What else is sticking? What is landing with you right now?
I just wanted to say, getting to know people, I think that's important because I know in the past year, we have like a men's group that meets on Wednesday night for Bible study, and there were a couple of times where people got up and walked out because they didn't like what something was said.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think if you get to know people a little better, that you can maybe steer clear of those type of incidents.
Hmm. Sure, yep.
Where if somebody says something and somebody else is offended, that you can kind of work through that because you know the people that you're with
yeah.
as a leader.
Yeah. And you'll never be able to avoid that 100% all the time. It's going to be there. But knowing your men, it makes a big difference. Yep.
Well, if you can brag on Mark, I can brag on you a little bit. I just wanted to say that, in the way that he got you to come to Men's Advance, right? The first interaction I had with Pastor Bob was at a men's breakfast. And, at the men's breakfast, it's a message similar to this and just... What struck me about it was the idea of modeling this sort of mature biblical masculinity, and in doing that, like coming against this false worldly masculinity that teaches, having feelings is weak, and being vulnerable is weak, and that, you know, machismo is the definition of a man. And just, I mean, this message and this group that you've been leading has really been pouring into, I think, the lives of especially young men, that idea that mature biblical masculinity is so much more than that sort of superficial toughness. And that's just been a blessing.
It's not just the gladiators
that
are out there. Yeah.
We're not all Vikings here. You know?
Right, right. Yeah.
Paint and do a crochet too, if you like.
That's good. Anybody else? Yeah.
I think just along the lines of getting to know, like, especially with, like, needing to get outside of our own generational, like, demographic, is we have a couple, myself and one other guy, are leaders in the young adults group that we have, and I was shocked at how hungry they are for the older generation.
Yeah.
Lives.
Yep.
And I was blown away because I walked in with a little bit of preconceived, you know, ideas about how they're going to be, but it was like mind blowing what you said. They're looking for authenticity, and there's a hunger there, and they want like my generation to be like speaking into them, even the ones, you know, in stable, good, godly homes. Like they're like, we need more of this.
Yeah.
All the time.
You know, one of the things that I intentionally have said to these young men is, I think they have to be taught that the older generation has wisdom, and to seek it, not to neglect their going to those deep wells. And so literally not just waiting for it to happen, but telling them it must happen.
Yeah.
You're missing an opportunity, because this generation is going to pass away before you have gotten everything you need from them.
Yeah.
And they want to,
yeah,
you know, they want to share it.
Yeah. I love to tell them too, I'm learning just as much from you guys.
Yeah, right.
As you're getting from us.
That's really good.
You guys are a whole new, new way to do pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Well,
I think we're at the time.
Let's give it up for Pastor Bob.